Student number 2, you don't need to press your hands together. Doing so for an hour would be tiring. While listening to Dharma, we compose our mind. Long ago, I went to meditate with teachers at their temples. My younger friend and I would always go to visit meditation teachers together. When he meditated, when his mind converged into samadhi or concentration, he liked to sit leaning against wall. When his mind converged, his legs would spread and his body would tilt back and forth. And people would criticize. And the teacher would say, "Hey, don't criticize him. His body isn't straight, but his mind is perfectly correct. His posture was unique in his own way." Therefore, the heart of meditation is the mind. We need to train it. The mind is non-self, so we can't order, force, or control it. However, the mind, by nature, can be trained. There are two trainings for the mind. One is to train the mind to be calm and rooted in awareness. The other one is to train the mind to be wise to attain wisdom. Calmness meditation is the training of samadhi. People who can practice samadhi correctly are not many. Most people don't know how to do the right concentration. They can only do wrong concentration. They get either drowsy or stressed, any one of which is useless. While meditating, we need to have mindfulness the whole time. Thus, in meditation, we need to have mindfulness to govern our practice at all times. When we lose mindfulness, we're not practicing. This was taught by Luang Pumon. With mindfulness, we're practicing. Without mindfulness, we're not practicing. If we meditate aiming for calmness and we get drowsy and lose self-awareness, that can't be called meditation. Instead, it's a state of being lost. We need to train step by step. Meditate with any meditation object. The key is the mind. When it's calm, it's the mind that's calm. When it's restless, it's the mind that's restless. Thus, while meditating, don't neglect the mind. To practice calmness meditation, meditate with any meditation object that you're comfortable with, and be aware of your own mind. As for me, I'm comfortable with breathing in, reciting put, and breathing out, reciting toe. My mind likes it. Doing so, the mind feels at ease and calm. At first, I didn't quite understand the meditation principles. When I practiced breathing in, reciting put, and breathing out, reciting toe, the breath would subside, and the light would appear. Then, my mind would sink and focus on the light, and it would wander out to see external things. I didn't know whether what I saw were real, but I really saw them. Later on, as I kept on practicing, I learned that it was futile for the mind to wander out, following the light. It's like we're watching a movie. When the movie is finished, you get nothing out of it. Another thing is when the mind wandered out, sometimes I would see angels, heavens, etc. The mind was not afraid of these things. However, it crossed my mind that if I could see angels, then I could definitely see ghosts. Since I was a kid, I was so afraid of ghosts, even though I had never seen them. I knew that the mind would see these things when the mind wandered out, following the light. Thus, from then on, I would not let the mind wander out. When we're with the light, if we can't meditate to the point where the light appears. For example, if we practice mindful breathing, stay with the breath, don't sink into the object of meditation. Suppose that we see light. If we sink into the light, soon mental images will appear. If we practice being mindful of rise and fall of abdomen, don't let the mind sink into the abdomen. If we practice walking meditation, lifting a foot up and letting it down, don't let the mind sink into the foot. If we practice being mindful of rhythmic hand movements, don't let the mind sink into the hands. Be aware of our own mind. When the mind is about to move, be aware of it. As for me, when the light appeared, the breath subsided and the light appeared, the mind would move towards the light, then I recognized it. As I was aware of it, the mind wouldn't move and it became rooted in awareness. We can apply this principle to all kinds of meditations. For instance, if we observe rise and fall of abdomen, when the mind moves to the abdomen, recognize it. If we practice rhythmic hand movements, if the mind moves to the hand, recognize it. While we're breathing out and in, if the mind moves to the breath, recognize it. Or if we practice reciting putto, and the mind escapes to think something else, recognize that the mind has wandered off. When I practiced and came to understand this, I knew that whatever object of meditation can be used, nothing is better or worse than anything. Just use the one we're comfortable with. The important thing, the heart of the practice, is to be aware of our own mind. For instance, while breathing out and in, if the mind moves to the breath, recognize it. If the mind escapes to think, recognize it. If we practice being mindful of rise and fall of abdomen, when the mind moves to the abdomen, recognize it. When the mind escapes to think, recognize it. If we practice rhythmic hand movements, if the mind moves to the hand, recognize it. If the mind escapes to think, recognize it. While walking in meditation, if the mind sinks into the foot, recognize it. If the mind escapes to think, recognize it. The heart of the meditation is to be aware of our own mind. Whatever object of meditation are the same, nothing's better or worse than anything. It depends on your skill. Use meditation object you're skilled at. The important thing is to be aware of our own mind. If not, the mind will be lost. Suppose that we see light and our mind wanders into the light. Soon mental images will appear or will be fooled by defilements. Thus, in practicing, don't neglect the mind. The mind is most important. The mind is the chief, the master, the principle of all Dharma. Whether one is good or bad depends on the mind. Whether one is suffering or not depends on the mind. Thus, all kinds of meditation are meant to train the mind. At first, we practice calmness meditation so that we can be aware of our own mind, not aiming for calmness. Calmness is nothing, it's easy. If we are aware of our own mind, the mind will be calm by itself. We don't need to do anything. When the mind escapes to think, recognize it. Then, the mind will be instantly rooted in awareness and become calm. Thus, in practicing calmness and insight, don't neglect the mind. While practicing samatha, be aware of the mind. While breathing, if the mind escapes to think, recognize it. If the mind focuses, recognize it. Suppose we're good at mindfulness of breath. Keep practicing and the mind will gradually become rooted in awareness. When it escapes, recognize it, over and over. This is important. Eventually, the mind will become rooted in awareness. It will become the joyful awakened knower. At this stage, the mind is in the correct samadhi. Samadhi means no drowsiness nor losing self-awareness. Samadhi denotes mental stability. By relying on mindfulness to recognize not rooted in awareness mind, the stability of the mind will occur by itself. How are we aware of not rooted in awareness wandering mind? When the mind escapes to think, recognize it. When the mind escapes to sink into, to focus on, or to attach to, the meditation object, recognize it. By being aware of the mind, when the mind wanders off to think, recognize it. When the mind wanders off to focus, recognize it. By recognizing the mind, we're practicing mindfulness. We need mindfulness to govern our practice. Don't let the mind become often drowsy. Don't lose self-awareness or mindfulness. Otherwise, it won't work. It's wrong concentration. Thus, when the mind wanders off, recognize it. When it's off again, recognize it again, over and over. Then, our mindfulness will get stronger. The moment where the wandering mind is recognized, the samadhi will arise automatically. At first, the samadhi only happens briefly, only one mind moment. Then, the mind will wander off again. Then, recognize it again. Wander again, recognize again, over and over. Eventually, the mind will gradually become powerful. The mind will be rooted in awareness. There's a phrase often used, upright and radiant sphere. In truth, there is no sphere. The mind has no shape or form. But that's how it feels, upright and radiant, without intention. Don't forget these words, without intention. If there's intention, the mind won't be rooted in awareness. Instead, it will be stressed and unhappy. And if the mind is unhappy, samadhi won't arise. Thus, keep meditating on an object in a relaxed manner. It doesn't matter if it's calm or not. But when the mind isn't calm, if the mind escapes to think, recognize it. If the mind sinks and focuses on meditation object, recognize it. Eventually, the mind will be rooted in awareness automatically. When it is rooted in awareness frequently, it feels like we have self-awareness all day. That means the mind has become powerful. Let alone lay people. Even some monks living here with me took months before they could get their mind to become powerful. If the mind isn't powerful, don't talk about insight. Don't rush to insight. Train the mind to become powerful and rooted in awareness first. When the mind is still feeble and powerless, when it's still lost wandering here and there, how can we cultivate wisdom? The right concentration is the proximate cause of wisdom. Thus, we need to train the mind to attain the right concentration. The right concentration is commonest meditation with mindfulness. Without mindfulness, it's not the right concentration. Instead, it is wrong concentration. Thus, when we meditate, we need to practice every day. There's no such things as free lunch or luck. We need to practice, practice with whatever meditation object, and keep being aware of our own mind. How? When the mind escapes to think, recognize it. When the mind sinks and focuses on meditation object, recognize it. That's all. That's the tactic. Meditate and be mindful of the mind. Don't meditate and only be aware of the meditation object. Doing so, you're still very far away from success. For instance, we practice mindfulness of breath, and we enjoy being with and cling to the breath. No matter how many years you practice, you won't go anywhere. Or if we practice mindfulness of abdomen, and our mind sinks in the abdomen, no matter how many years you do, you won't go anywhere. Because we're not aware of the mind, that the mind has wandered off already. Thus, practice samadhi. You must practice every day, told you. Nothing comes for free. If we want the mind to be rooted in awareness and powerful enough to cultivate wisdom, we must practice every day. Practice on whatever object of meditation that we're comfortable with. Then be aware of our own mind. For instance, breathe in, recite put, breathe out, recite toe, and when the mind escapes to think something else, recognize it. Breathe in, recite put, breathe out, recite toe, and when the mind sinks and focuses on the breath, recognize it. Practice in this way. You can use any meditation object, but apply the same principle. Thus, in the lesson of samadhi, the Buddha called it mental training. Or its full term is, Art Digit Tasikkar. We need to add, art di as a prefix. Art digitta sikha means to train the mind in a great way, that is, in a resolute manner. Then, we will attain samadhi, as suggested by the name. It's about understanding of the mind or learning about the mind, and then we will attain samadhi. Upon hearing me talking about the mind, some people may argue saying, hey, no, we must meditate on the body first. Well, they're right. Such as, mindfulness of in and out breath is meditation on body. Mindfulness of rise and fall of abdomen is also meditation on body. However, if we don't get to the heart of the practice, we won't go anywhere. We might just get drowsy and see this and that. The heart of the practice is the mind. Thus, practice meditation on an object, any object, regardless of whether it's calm or not, and keep being aware of our own mind. Restless mind is the mind that wanders to mental objects, such as wandering to think, wandering to sink in the object of meditation, and then the mind becomes dull and stays like that. That is, the mind isn't truly calm. At the moment we recognize that the mind has wandered off, calmness will arise briefly, for only one mind moment. Practice often, until self-awareness arises in high frequency. I teach this method because we can't do jhana or absorption. Most people can't do absorption, so they need to use the method I teach. Keep growing the momentary samadhi. Once the mind has become powerful enough, it will become rooted in awareness and luminous. It'll feel like the mind that is in near deep concentration, that is, being rooted in awareness and luminous. From small beginnings, it's like to keep dripping water into a jar, drop after drop, eventually, the jar will be full. In the same way, the mind will become powerful, rooted in awareness and luminous. At this stage, we can use this mind to cultivate wisdom. If the mind isn't rooted in awareness, don't talk about wisdom cultivation. It can't be done. If the mind still wanders back and forth, or feeble, it won't work. Thus, don't neglect what I teach. Every day, practice meditation and be aware of our own mind. When the mind wanders to think, recognize it. When the mind wanders to focus, recognize it. Eventually, we will attain the mind with the right samadhi. Actually, there's another method, but people these days can't do it, that is, to do absorption. When the light appears and the mind contemplates the light, there's applied thought. This is called directed attention. Also, the mind clings to the light. This is sustained attention. Then, rapture arises, bliss arises, and one-pointedness arises. The mind doesn't scatter or get distracted. It doesn't think about this and that. Rather, the mind is in one-pointedness concentration. Then, as the level of samadhi and mindfulness increases, the mind would see that the mind contemplating the light, clinging to the light, is a burden. Then the mind lets go of the light and reverts back to the knower mind, which arises in the second absorption, and remains throughout the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth absorption. This is only for Buddhist meditation. As for non-Buddhist meditation, even though they can access up to eighth absorption, they don't have the knower mind. Some people can access formless absorption, such as loving-kindness meditation. Doing so, no matter how long, light will never appear. To practice the divine abodes, there's no counterpart sign, nor glowing sphere of light. As one keeps doing loving-kindness meditation, eventually the mind will completely dwell in emptiness. It's empty, luminous, but no knower mind. The mind dwells in emptiness, and so this is called the sphere of infinite space. If we're adept in mind observation, we can directly access the mental state of emptiness, that is, the sphere of infinite space. This is the shortcut. Once we dwell in emptiness, we will see that the mind contemplating on the emptiness is a mental burden. Then the mind will let go of the emptiness and revert back to observe the mind. It will see a mind arises and ceases, and a knower mind arises and ceases, and another knower mind arises and ceases, repeatedly, one after another. This is called the sphere of infinite consciousness. This is the second formless absorption. It's the sixth absorption, but the second formless absorption. By seeing mind arise one after another, repeatedly, as a burden, one then let go of such state. At first, one lets go of the light, then the counterpart sign, then the emptiness, and then the mind. One then clings to nothing. This is the third formless absorption called infinite nothingness. Eventually, the consciousness becomes weaker, and only slight self-awareness remains, but you don't lose awareness completely. If you lose awareness completely, you'll become non-percipient beings. If one still has slight self-awareness, this is the fourth formless absorption, called neither perception nor non-perception. Regarding this, Venerable Zari Buddha stated that, if one is adept in mind observation, one can cultivate wisdom in neither perception nor non-perception. If one isn't adept in absorption or mind observation, one can't cultivate wisdom in formless absorption, because in formless absorption, there is only mind and no body. This method is difficult. For us, when the mind withdraws from absorption, if it's Buddhist meditation, one will have the knower mind, which has been attained since the second absorption and remains all the way to neither perception or non-perception, then one can cultivate wisdom. But if it's non-Buddhist ascetic meditation, it's just calm. And when one withdraws from absorption, all defilements will come back, same as before. Because the one that kills defilements isn't samadhi. Samadhi can't kill defilements, but it can only suppress them. The one that kills defilements is wisdom. Only wisdom can kill defilements. Even mindfulness can't kill defilements. When defilement arises, mindfulness cognizes it. That is, defilement is captured, but we don't actually pounce on it. When mindfulness arises, it cognizes. That is when defilement arises, mindfulness cognizes it immediately. Then the mind becomes rooted in awareness. Then, wisdom will cut off the defilement. Thus, the one that washes away defilements is wisdom. That's why the Buddha said, one is purified by wisdom, not by mindfulness, samadhi, precepts, or generosity, but by wisdom. To train the mind to attain wisdom is to practice vipassana. When we attain the mind that is rooted in awareness, prominent knower mind, we can truly do wisdom cultivation. How do we cultivate wisdom? As we see that the mind is rooted in awareness, that the body is moving in this way, that the body is being seen, that the body and the mind are separate things, this means we can separate between form and non-form already. Some people may say form and non-form separation is such as rising abdomen is one thing, and falling abdomen is another thing. That isn't form and non-form separation. Rather, it's separation between form and form, no non-form. Or when walking in meditation, they say lifting foot and moving foot as separation between form and non-form. No. All of these are form and form. For form and non-form separation, there must be non-form. Non-form in this case is the mind, the knower mind. Therefore, when we have the knower mind, it won't be difficult to do from non-form separation. If we don't have the mind that is rooted in awareness, awakened, joyful, knower mind, If we don't have powerful mind, we can't do from non-form separation, or we can do it with difficulty. That is, they separate briefly, then they unite again. Thus, don't neglect. We must practice meditation on an object, then be aware of our own mind. We don't aim for calmness, happiness, or goodness. But while practicing, keep being aware of our own mind. Eventually, we will attain the prominent knower mind. I've been practicing samadhi since I was a child, and I've attained the knower mind since then, the automatic knower mind. When I met Luang Pu Dun, I was 29 already. I began to do mind observation by separating things out. And then, I re-met the knower mind. So, I knew by then that there are two ways to bring about the knower mind. One is to do deep concentration, and the other one is to practice a kind of object meditation, and then when the mind wanders off, recognize it. When it's off to think, recognize it. When it's off to focus, recognize it. Then, we will attain the knower mind. I could practice with ease, because I have already had the knower mind. As for us, we have thinker mind or lost mind, so we can't really meditate. We need to practice. Nothing comes for free. We have to train. There's no such thing as fluke. The words coincidence and luck don't exist in Buddhism. Some may say, oh, it's my lucky day. It's a sheer fluke that I practice well today. There is no good luck or bad luck. Everything happens due to causes. No good fortune or ill fortune. All things arise due to causes and conditions. No good luck, good fortune or ill fortune. No. Crow meaning planet or luck is what we call planets. Good ruck, meaning star or auspicious time. Bad ruck, ruck is the name of the star. The sun. Planets. What could stars possibly do anything to human? We just need to have a strong heart and are determined and confident in our goodness. Stars can't do anything to us. Thus, no need to worrying. Some people, when they plan to ordain, they need to find ruck or auspicious time for ordination. After ordination, they become monks in this temple. That's okay. I don't mind the auspicious time for ordination. But if they still need to find auspicious time to leave monkhood, I will chide them. Oh, you've been with me for a long time, and foolishness can't be cured still. Auspicious time is not Buddhism. It's the mind that's important. At the beginning of practice, we need to train the mind to be rooted in awareness, that is, to gain self-awareness. When the mind is rooted in awareness, we can practice aggregate separation, that is, initial level of wisdom cultivation. There are two levels of wisdom, initial level and insight level. In initial level of insight, we see that the body is one part and the mind is another part, happiness or suffering is one part and the mind is another part, or good or evil is one part and the mind is another part. So, we separate the five aggregates out, over and over. They can be separated. It isn't difficult if we have the mind that's rooted in awareness and powerful. It will feel that the body is not us, but it's being known and it's not the mind. We will see that they are separate entities. Each aggregate will separate out. Seeing each aggregate separate out, we are ready to progress to insight. We will see that each aggregate, or each phenomenon, arises, exists, and ceases. At this stage, we progress to insight. We will see that happiness arises, exists, and ceases, and that it's a thing to be known. We see it arise, exist, and cease, just like watching a drama series. We see that lead actress comes and goes, that lead actor comes and goes, that villain comes and goes, and that envious character comes and goes. We just keep watching and see that everything comes and goes. That is, we've progressed to initial level of insights already. It's just initial level of insights, as usually our samadhi power isn't strong enough. For those who have trained until the mind becomes truly powerful, especially those who've done absorption, their mind will be powerful and can pass this stage of defilement of insight with ease. However, if we train by recognizing when the mind is lost repeatedly, our samadhi won't be powerful, well, a little, that is, it's powerful briefly. It's like our battery is of poor quality. After charging, it drains fast. For those people who practice absorption, their battery is good, it's powerful with long battery life. If we can't do absorption, just practice a kind of object meditation and be aware of the mind. Then, we will gain energy, that is, the mind will become rooted in awareness, then just quickly separate the aggregates out. The body is one part. Happiness or suffering is another part. Good or evil is another part. The mind, which is the knower, is another part. Separate them out in this way. Then, we progress to insight. That is, as we separate good, evil from the mind, we will see that the wholesome mind arises and ceases, and the evil mind, greedy mind arises and ceases, angry mind arises and ceases, lost mind arises and ceases. This means we've progressed to insight already. Seeing each Dharma phenomenon arise and cease, over and over, means we begin practicing insight. However, if our samadhi power isn't strong enough, when seeing the rise and fall, the mind will sink into the phenomenon that rises and falls. The mind isn't rooted in awareness, nor is it the knower. Instead, it sinks into the phenomenon that arises and ceases. And when it ceases, the mind becomes empty and bright. That is, we are fooled by corruptions of insight. Why? Because the mind has wandered off, but we're unaware. Such as, the mind becomes bright and empty. Mostly, those who practice mind observation will experience the defilement of insight called brightness or light. There are 10 defilements of insight, which you can Google it. All the 10 defilements of insight arise from the same cause, that is, when practice insight, seeing phenomena arise and cease, your samadhi isn't powerful enough and so the mind wanders off to the phenomenon. For instance, when seeing angry, if your samadhi isn't strong enough, the mind will wander off to the anger. Then, the anger will move away and vanish. As a result, the mind gets stuck outside and we're unaware that the mind has wandered off and becomes bright, empty, and relaxed outside. Not only do the students who study with me experience the mind that is not rooted in awareness, but I also used to experience the mind that is not rooted in awareness. I saw anger. I was irritable type of person. I saw anger arise in the middle of the chest. Previously, when I recognized it, it ceased right away. That day, I wanted to do an experiment to see if I just recognized it lightly, not vigorously, what would happen. As a result, the mind wandered and attached to anger. It didn't destroy anger. It only lightly attached to the anger. Then, the anger wandered off, and I was unaware, because the anger and my mind wandered off together, so I wasn't aware of it. It's like we fall into water. Water keeps flowing. We see a log floating nearby. We are floating in the water. We and the log are floating and going together. So, we wouldn't notice that the log is faring, because we and the log go together. In the same way, the mind and the anger are attached to each other, so they wander together, and we are not aware of that. And when anger ceased, the mind was already out. the mind has wandered out and I was unaware. As a result, the mind became bright and empty, and when I thought of whatever Dharma, I would know everything about it. How many categories, subjects, each subject, each topic, I can see relation of each Dharma element. As a result, my mind was heavy and tight. That was another kind of defilement of insight. That is, too much wisdom. Too much wisdom doesn't necessarily mean good, if it's wisdom without mindfulness to govern it, and without samadhi either. Thus, it became defilement of insight, and it fooled me. I thought I knew everything, this, that, and the other, but I wasn't aware that I was actually lost. Thus, when practice insight, don't neglect samadhi. Every day, we need to set aside time for samadhi. That is to practice meditation and be aware of the mind that wanders. Practice in this way every day. It once happened to me that my mind wandered out and dwelled in emptiness, and it stayed like that for more than a year. It felt relaxed as if there was no defilements. In fact, I was blissfully unaware of the defilements. One day, it occurred to me that, A, the Buddha said the mind is impermanent, but why does my mind seem permanent? The Buddha said the mind is suffering, why is my mind happy? The Buddha said the mind is non-self, why can I control or force the mind? Where did I go wrong? So, I investigated to figure out what I did wrong. I didn't think that the three baskets was wrong. Some people, when they practice and experience something that isn't stated in the three baskets, they say the three baskets is incomplete. It misses something. These people are crazy, egocentric. As I saw that my condition was inconsistent with the three baskets, I extensively investigated myself. Where did I go wrong? But I couldn't figure out what was wrong. The mind was empty, bright, and relaxed, and it stayed like that. One day, I went to Bantard Forest Monastery to pay reverence to Luangtar Mahabua. Back then, not many people would go to see him. Mostly, people would go to Hin Mark Bang Temple. Luang Pu Mun had three generations of disciples. For senior generation disciples, Luang Pu Sing Kantoyar Kamo, Salawan Temple, was like a leader of disciples. Next to Luang Pu Sing's generation, the mid-generation, Luang Pu Tiad Tiad Rang Si, Hin Mark Bang Temple, was like a leader for this generation. As for junior generation, Luangtar Mahabua was the leader. At that time, Luang Pu Tiad was still there, and mostly people would go to see him. I would also go to see him at Hin Mark Ping Temple. However, whenever I had time, I would also visit Bontard Forest Monastery. I felt Luangtar Mahabua was extraordinary, a very good monk. So, one day I went to visit him to ask questions. He was about to have breakfast. I asked, "My revered masters taught me to observe the mind, and so I practice observing the mind. But I don't know why it doesn't progress." He turned to look at me, a quick turn. And he said, "Saying you're observing the mind, but you can't really see the mind. You must believe me. I have passed this experience on my own." This is important. Nothing is better than reciting. I bowed to him and moved backward to sit nearby, just about more than a meter away. He was having breakfast, and I sat leaning on the balcony railing nearby. Then, I started the reciting practice of the word Putto. He told me to recite Putto, so I recited Putto, Putto, over and over. However, my mind didn't like to just only recite Putto, so the mind became uncomfortable. Then, I thought, why did he tell me to recite? Reciting is calmness meditation. So, I should practice calmness. The truth was, I'd been doing wisdom cultivation continually and completely neglected samadhi. And that caused the problem. My samadhi wasn't strong enough. Realizing that, I practiced breathing in, reciting put, breathing out, reciting toe. I meditate on the object that I'm comfortable with. After a few breaths, the mind converged, and I almost wanted to give myself a knock on the head. I was fooled by the defilement of insight for about a year. It was such a little problem. That is, if our samadhi wasn't strong enough, then the defilement of insight would fool you. Thus, it's very important that we must practice samadhi every day. If you're my disciples, don't be restless. To practice mind observation, if your mind is very restless, you can't observe the mind, or you're just talking nonsense. The mind must be rooted in awareness and luminous. I don't want to use the word luminous, but it feels like it. Not in the sense of pride, but it feels like the mind is powerful. The mind itself takes no form, no spot, no sphere. As we keep on practicing, wisdom will arise. The correct knowledge, the correct understanding, will arise. It will be seen that all kinds of formations, for example, happiness, suffering, good, evil, form, or non-form, are just kinds of formations. Sometimes, it concocts good. Sometimes, it concocts evil. Sometimes, it tries not to concoct by making the mind empty. Nowadays, people still teach about emptiness. They like to talk about emptiness. They heard that Nibbana is emptiness, so they like to talk about emptiness, as they'd like to blow smoke that they've experienced Nibbana. But they just talk the talk, but don't walk the walk. Their mind isn't empty. Emptiness, we know, is the kind of emptiness that comes with chaos. We are yet to fully understand Nibbana. Nibbana is a true emptiness, an emptiness that is genuinely devoid. While emptiness is empty, the emptiness we often perceive is more like the emptiness that arises from chaos. Soon, it becomes empty, and soon it becomes chaotic, over and over. This isn't the real thing. Hearing the word emptiness, some people like to talk about emptiness. They just recite teachers' teachings or Tipitaka, and they talk and talk. Those without mindfulness or wisdom would believe them, thinking this person must be an enlightened one for sure, because he talks about this level of Dharma. Nibbana has no sun, moon, earth, water, fire, wind, night, day, going, coming, birth, arising, etc. Many words to describe Nibbana that they recite by heart. How do we tell whether they are real? It's easy. Observe if they keep precepts. Some might not keep precepts. They're just good at reciting by heart. Don't believe them. These days, people like to appoint this and that person as an enlightened one. Don't believe them so easily. Thus, talking about emptiness, we need to see what kind of emptiness it is. If it's the emptiness that comes with chaos, that kind of emptiness was the same as my mistake. That is the kind of emptiness that comes with chaos. It's not the real thing. If we incline the mind to be empty or to enter formless absorption, this kind of emptiness is called imperturbable formations. RP Sankhan means karma formations. There are three kinds of formations. Punyalpi Sankhan means meritorious karma formations, or formations of good. For example, when we practice diligently, that is, we concoct good, it's a kind of formations. Morality, samadhi, and wisdom are good formations. We need to create good formations, otherwise the mind would concoct evil formations instead. Thus, at first, we need to create good formations first, but be aware that they are formations, such as formations of morality, samadhi, and wisdom. To create samadhi, when the mind moves, be aware of it. We create it. We make it happen, that is. Eventually, the mind will be rooted in awareness, but it exists only briefly, and then ceases. You see, it has dual nature. That is, it changes back and forth, so it's unreliable. Thus, morality, samadhi, and wisdom are unreliable. They are just good formations. Bad formations are such as formations of greed, anger, delusion, and so on. Another kind of formation is imperturbable formations, that is, trying not to concoct any formation. By trying not to concoct any formation, they then keep talking about emptiness, this is emptiness, that is emptiness. In fact, these people dwell in the state of imperturbable formations. Don't be fooled. By hearing them talk about emptiness, you then think they are enlightened one. No. It's just imperturbable formations. To really attain Shunyata, or the true emptiness, one must practice calmness meditation and insight, in a wise manner. In a wise manner means having clear comprehension governing the practice, in order not to be off the track. In practicing calmness meditation, we know what to do, what the objective is, how to do it, and its result. That is, to have a clear comprehension. Such as, in practicing calmness, what is the objective? It's for the mind to be energized in order to practice insight. In practicing insight, we must also have a clear comprehension. How to practice insight, what to do, how to do, what's result? That is, to have clear aims and objectives. We practice insight so that the mind can see the truth of form and non-form. The truth of form and non-form is three characteristics. 2 days ago, a monk asked me, "What should I do to see subtle phenomena? My friends can see subtle phenomena, but I can only see obvious ones," I replied, "No need." Obvious or subtle phenomena equally demonstrate three characteristics. What we want to see is three characteristics, not the phenomena. Mindfulness is the one that recognizes phenomena arising. The mind is rooted in awareness, and wisdom sees three characteristics. Keep observing step by step. Vipassana means seeing three characteristics. It's the insight level wisdom. There are many levels of wisdom. Basic wisdom means one can separate between form and non-form. We are not talking about worldly wisdom. Here we only talk about wisdom from meditation. Being able to separate between form and non-form is basic wisdom. Seeing each form or non-form demonstrates three characteristics is insight wisdom. Keep practicing until the mind becomes equanimous. That is, happiness is impermanent, as is suffering. Good and evil are equal in terms of three characteristics. This is the highest level of insight meditation. After this, it will go through the process of supramundate wisdom, that is, the wisdom level that kills or uproots defilements. Supramundate wisdom only arises at the moment of the Noble Path, never in any other moment, but the moment of Noble Path. Keep training, as I said. Practice meditation on an object, any object, and be aware of our own mind, until the mind becomes powerful. When the mind is powerful, we can separate the aggregates out with ease. Form is one part. Feeling is another part. Mental formation is another part. Mind is another part. So, we separate them out. Then, we will see that each phenomenon, each form, each non-form, arises and ceases. There's nothing but three characteristics. Each of them demonstrates three characteristics. So, in this stage of insight level, we don't pay attention to forms or non-forms, but we focus our observation on three characteristics. This kind of samadhi is called characteristic focus meditation. The mind is rooted in awareness, that is, characteristic focus meditation, and it can see three characteristics. If the mind is calm and cling to one object, It's called object-focused meditation. The mind is calm clinging to one object. Thus, with mindfulness, if the mind clings to an object, it's calmness meditation. But if the mind becomes powerful and rooted in awareness, and it sees three characteristics, this is called characteristic-focused meditation. That is, one can see the three characteristics. This can happen at many occasions, such as when we practice until the mind becomes rooted in awareness, when we practice insight, and also at the moment of the noble path, at the moment of the noble fruit. The mind is in characteristic focus meditation. At the moment of the noble path, and at the moment of the noble fruit, what do we see? We see Nibbana. At this moment, we see emptiness. And this emptiness isn't like the emptiness we're thinking about, not the kind of emptiness that comes with chaos. Do you understand the practice principle? If not, then listen repeatedly. These days, it's easy. Back when I went to learn with teachers, I couldn't even use tape recorder to record their voice, nor could I take notes. I had to listen attentively, try to remember, and put into practice. Okay. That's all for my teachings today.
Number 1. I feel like my mind has shifted towards loving kindness so much that sometimes it feels like too much. I've heard a talk by Luangpo on the subject of liberation of the mind through loving kindness, but I'm not sure what it's about. I just know that it's making it easier for me to meditate, and I'm becoming more disenchanted with the world. I only see suffering wherever I look, and all I can think about is wanting to ordain and not wanting to work. I'm not sure if it's depression or if it's just a dispassion towards the world in a Dhamma way.
The world doesn't conform to our desires, so we get bored. But this isn't true boredom. It's a boredom mixed with anger or dissatisfaction. If we're bored on a wisdom level, then we see everything as meaningless, but we don't hate it. In your case, the mind accepts some things and rejects others. It shows dual nature. So you're not truly equanimous yet. You're not truly bored, not disenchanted. The mind has anger. Just be aware of the anger. When anger arises, the mind lacks happiness and contentment. Be aware of it. The world is nothing. It's only suffering. Understand it and don't suffer with the world. You still suffer with the world, thinking life is too complicated and chaotic, and so you're tempted to ordain. They are two different things. What has dual nature are not real. You need to be aware of the mind that still has anger.
Number 2. I see the emptiness of the body, the feeling that arises and ceases within the body, the feeling of the mind, and the various mental formations that rise up as a current. I see the impulsion of desire, while the knower mind exists separately. I see the knower mind arise and cease. I see equanimity exist separately, and it also arises and ceases. Please kindly give me advice.
Keep going and see more. You haven't seen enough yet. What you've seen is correct, but when you observe, the mind isn't truly rooted in awareness. It moves around and sees things. Train your mind like this. Observe things arise and cease, over and over. Observe like this. Do it again like earlier. Meditate on it. Now it's not right. It's too tense. You have to relax more than this. Now, you're sinking. You sink to watch. Feel it, feel it. Okay, feel it like that. Then you'll see it arise and disappear again and again. It will emerge from the center of your chest. Then disappear. Don't sink into it. Okay, keep practicing.
Number 3.
Student number 2. Do you notice that? When you withdraw from meditation, there is delusion. The mind is dull. Therefore, when you meditate, do not let delusion take over the mind. Be aware of yourself. The awareness is a little too weak. It becomes weak when you meditate. This is difficult to explain. If I told you it's too weak, you'll make it hard. It's difficult to explain the right amount of awareness. Like this, not weak. Try to withdraw the mind outside. And can you observe that there will be no delusion coming out? If our mind is deluded when we meditate and withdraw, the delusion will still be present. Therefore, we cannot abandon mindfulness. If we abandon mindfulness, our meditation will be delusional meditation. If we are skilled in this type of meditation, we will remain like this and see all the various states arise and pass away.
Number 3. Previously, I inclined to concentrate my mind on an object during meditation, and I still have that inclination now. My practice involves reciting put on the in-breath and toe on the out-breath. Sometimes, when my mind is very dull or restless, I feel like my mind is outside of my body, and I experience mental suffering that I cannot control, and my body feels like it does not belong to me. I am not sure whether this experience is real or just my own thoughts.
You really saw it. You need to see it again and again. The power of your samadhi is not enough yet. Practice formal meditation, as Luang Po taught. Practice object meditation and be aware of the mind. When the mind wanders off, be aware of it. With more practice, the mind will have more strength. Right now, its power is a little weak. You need to practice more. Don't force the mind, just let it wander and know. Don't force the mind to become stronger, like in Chinese martial art movies. That is artificial. Don't alter the mind. That is to tinker with it. Don't tamper with the mind. Just practice object meditation comfortably. Whatever happens to the mind is its own affair. Don't let the mind sink in. Do you see? The mind alters in this way and that way. But don't let it sink. Just practice object meditation and know the mind as it is. When the mind wanders, know it. When the mind sinks into focusing, know it. When the mind sinks into dullness, know it. Keep knowing it constantly. Don't let it sink like this. As I said, it's okay to have calm or scattered mind. So, there's no need to force it to be calm. Just keep practicing object meditation.
Number 4. When I chant and meditate, I tend to suppress my mental states. Once I recognize a mental state, I try to observe it in advance. When my mind wanders off, I feel some tightness. My mind has become more natural, but occasionally it gets stuck for a brief moment before returning to the same state repeatedly. Could you please give me some advice?
It's normal. When you're stuck, just recognize it. Your mind has developed somewhat. It's not the same as before. Before, it was much worse. Now, it gradually relaxes, which is good. Keep practicing regularly and be aware of your mind, regardless of what it's like. Keep observing your mind. Eventually, your mind will develop stronger samadhi. Now you're lost, do you know it? Yes, that's it. When you're lost, just keep knowing it, over and over again. It's okay to be lost, so don't forbid it, otherwise, it will create tension. Now you are doing it wrong. Just know when your mind is lost. When you're lost, keep knowing it.
Number 5. Regarding formal meditation, I practice using mindfulness of breathing and mantra recitation as meditation objects. I understand the difference between mind and thinking in the process of discernment. However, Sometimes I feel doubtful about why I am practicing, and if my mind becomes foolish, I tend to stop and start over again. At this stage, I observe the mind when it is experiencing loss. I realize that there are multiple minds, and they are vulnerable to external influences. Can you offer any guidance on how to proceed with my practice?
Well, practice as you practice. Keep knowing the mind continuously. Then it will become good by itself. Don't force it or forbid it. It is what it is. Know that it is like that. Rapture arises in the mind. The mind has rapture. Know that it has rapture. Observe it. The rapture and the mind are separate things. Keep observing it. Don't forbid it. If rapture is going to arise, don't forbid it. The mind has rapture. Just know that the mind has rapture. Observe that the rapture and the mind are distinct. Keep observing. Everything is different from the mind. It's all just phenomena that arise and pass away. When dissatisfaction arises in the mind, know it right away. Otherwise, I don't like this, or I don't like that, which the Pali phrase says, this one is not suitable for us, that one is also not suitable for us. Dislike arises repeatedly. Be aware of your mind. Dislike is not the mind. Dislike is just another state. It's not the mind. The mind never likes or dislikes. The mind is, by nature, that which senses objects.
Number 6. I observe the movements of the body and watch the breath as objects of meditation. I am becoming more self-aware and can distinguish between forms and non-forms, although sometimes this is clear and sometimes not. The mind attaches less and sees the body as something that is known. When I am sick, I observe bodily sensations and see them as suffering. I feel pain, and then the pain disappears and returns for a moment, again and again. Can you advise me on how to continue my meditation practice?
That is the way it is. Know what arises and know what passes away. Relax and don't force your mind to be still. Do you feel that you are holding your mind too tightly? It is unnecessary, and you will tire yourself for no reason. Just observe your mind as it is. We don't try to make our mind a certain way. Instead, we should know it and accept it as it is. By doing so, we will develop a mind that is more firmly rooted in awareness and has correct samadhi. Only when the mind has correct samadhi can we cultivate wisdom. You still have the habit of forcefully pulling your mind in, afraid that it will wander away. There is still some tension on the mind.
Number 7. I do formal practice daily by sitting in meditation and being aware of the breath. When the mind is lost in thought, I recognize it. When the mind focuses, I recognize it, but usually it is lost in thought more than it focuses. I try to be mindful in daily life, feel that I can separate the aggregates and cultivate wisdom some. Please, Luangpo, see if I am doing it right or not.
You're doing it right. But at this moment, the mind is exhausted. Right now, it's exhausted. It's time to practice calmness meditation. At the beginning of my teachings today, your mind still had energy. It has been in control for a long time, taken care of for a long time, and now it's exhausted. So, if the mind has no energy, we practice calmness meditation. When the mind has energy, we see mental states arise and fall. Forms arise and cease. Non-forms also arise and cease. Mind also arises and ceases. Ah, that's how it goes. The mind will have more energy. Let the mind rest for a while. It's like using the mind to work for more than an hour, since before Luangpo's sermon. Now it's time to let the mind rest. We must know that at this time the mind should be allowed to rest, and at this time we should take the mind to cultivate wisdom. We must keep up with this. When the mind has energy, we must cultivate wisdom. Can't take a break forever. It's like a person. If they only take a break, they won't get any richer. Work hard day and night. If you don't know how to take a break, you'll die quickly. The same goes for meditation. If you're too diligent to observe to cultivate wisdom all day all night and never allow the mind to rest, you'll die quickly. Death means stopping practicing. When you're tired, stop, take a break when it's necessary, cultivate wisdom when it's appropriate. Student number 7, your practice is good.
Number 8, for formal meditation, I chant mantra for 30 minutes and walk for 15 minutes. During the day, I try to be aware of myself and feel the breath entering through the tip of the nose. I can observe anger and state of lost in thought more than other defilements. Mostly, I see them arise, but not when they subside. During this time, the mind may not have much energy, and I have weak self-awareness and am very restless. Please give me some additional homework.
Practice your formal meditation in form of calmness meditation. Whether you are calm or not calm, keep doing it and continue to be aware of the mind in a relaxed manner. For example, when we inhale, recite put, and exhale, recite toe, if the mind thinks, know it. If the mind sinks in the breath, know it. Practice nonchalantly, and the mind will gradually become stronger. The mind is not powerful enough. Your practice is actually good. Meditation is not something that can be discarded. It should be done every day, and time should be set aside for it. Everyone should do it every day. If we don't have samadhi, the mind cannot cultivate wisdom, and it cannot distinguish the aggregates. If it can distinguish them, it will do so in a poor way. At first, Luangpo tried to distinguish the aggregates, but I didn't know how, so I tried to pull the mind and body apart, to separate them. I wanted to make them separate, even though it was tiring. If I saw the mind cling to feeling, I tried to separate them. That was all wrong. It's not that difficult. You just need to know it with equanimity. When the mind has enough energy, it will separate them out by itself. That's all for a homework session. When the people in the room heard Luangpo say, the people in the room, did you notice the mind awakening, as if danger was approaching? What will Luangpo do? I won't do anything. I'll just tell us to be mindful of our own minds and our samadhi will increase. At basic level, by observing the mind we gain samadhi. And when the mind has samadhi, it can cultivate wisdom, which can be started with the body, the feeling, or the mind. Luangpo learned from Luangpo Dun. I have been meditating since I was a child. When I met Luangpo Dun, he told me to look at the mind, not the body, because he had a lot of insight. When we went to learn the meditation from him, he didn't talk. He sat quietly for a long time, almost like he was investigating us about the meditation we had done in the past and which meditation were appropriate for us according to our temperaments. Some people took an hour, but for me, he took more than half an hour, sitting quietly like that. When he opened his eyes, he told me to observe the mind, not the body, because the mind already had samadhi and could start with wisdom cultivation. Luangpo cultivated wisdom by observing the mind. That is mindfulness of the mind. After practicing it for some time and gaining a certain level of understanding of Dharma, I would go and observe other teachers who taught various meditation methods at different places. I saw that most teachers taught chanting of Putto and focused on the physical aspects of the practice. Not only did the forest tradition teach mindfulness of the body, but other traditions also taught it. This included the practice of the tradition of Puttathas Bhikkhu, who practiced breath mindfulness, which involves mindfulness of the body, and the tradition of Luang Po Tian, who moved his hands in a rhythmic way, also using his body. Even Go Engar's teachings started from the practice of breath mindfulness, which involves mindfulness of the body. Wherever I looked, they all started with the body. Why did Luang Po Dun tell me to observe the mind? So, I went back and asked him, "Luang Po, should I go back to observe the body?" He said, "They observe the body to see the mind. Once you see the mind, what use is the body? The body is something you abandon." That's what he taught Luang Po, but it doesn't mean everyone should use this method. For example, monks must observe the body, otherwise, they won't be safe. When lust arises, it can feel like they are dying. If the monk is not good, they will break the precepts. If the monk is good, the suffering can be unbearable. If the suffering is unbearable and we can't fight it, consider looking inward at the body. This body is not beautiful or attractive. It's not good. The skin on the outside and the organs on the inside are smelly. Everything that comes out of this body stinks. Contemplate in this way. This is calmness meditation, but it can cure lust completely. Some monks practice in this way, that is, reflections on repulsiveness of the body, constantly until the lust is no longer aggressive. Some might say, "Hey, this monk must be a non-returner." No, he's not. This is the result of contemplating the repulsiveness of the body and cultivating samadhi. If samadhi is weak, lust will return. We must see the truth of the form and the non-form. We observe the mind, and when understanding arises, it arises in the mind. When it lets go, it lets go in the mind. But if we observe the body, it understands the body completely and let go of the body. Then, it reverses back to the mind and cuts off at the mind. Therefore, when defilements are purified, it is not at the physical body, but at the mind. However, we use the body as a form of practice, constantly observing it and seeing the three characteristics of the body. Once the mind understands this truth, it will revert back to the mind and can let go of attachment and love for the body. Even if one is a non-returner, the cutting off of defilements does not take place at the body, but at the mind. As I taught monks, when lust arises, one must also contemplate the body. This is the tactic of samadhi, to survive for a while longer. When lust has subsided, one can continue to observe, and depending on one's inclinations, observe the body and see its three characteristics, observe feeling and see its three characteristics, or observe the mind, and see its three characteristics, could be any of these. However, one must have a firm and rooted in awareness mind. If the mind is not firm, one cannot cultivate true insight. Please feel free to go home. Is anyone going to submit homework today? Is there anyone who wants to submit homework? Today, we have a new product to show off. Today, Venerable Aha may check the homework. Whoever wants to get it checked, go ahead. It's not easy to ask for favors. Venerable Aha is only interested in how to transcend suffering with single-minded determination. He doesn't want to get involved with anyone. Please feel free to go home.